all those people on Sesame Street, especially that last guy, who's that's the voice of Jim Henson, by the way, who voiced Kermit the Frog and Big Bird and things like that. It wasn't him falling, but it was the voice of him. All those people balancing, and then he's falling and dropping, and those 10 chocolate flare cakes, they love to count on Sesame Street. Today will be a wonderful sermon for those of you who are amateur and professional accountants who love to count, because we're going to count our blessings. But before we do, I need your help. First now for a little bit, and then kind of near the end of the sermon. So when I ask you, listen carefully, when I ask you, beloved, who's counting? I want you to answer me out loud, nice and loud, with these words. Ready? We are. Okay, we are. Do you think you can do that? We are. Let's practice. Beloved, who's counting?
We are.
Oh, that was wonderful. One more time. Beloved, who's counting?
We are.
All right, good job. Don't forget your line. It's two words, nice and clear. We are, and you say it when you hear me say, beloved, who's counting?
We are.
Good job. All right, we got our part. Don't forget. Now, it's time to start counting our blessings. The first blessing, ironically, is the doesn't count blessing. Well, we still count it, and it certainly counts in one way, but you can still call it the doesn't count blessing. Why? Because blessing number one, King David gives us in verse 3 of our text, when we were overwhelmed by sins, you, Lord God, forgave our transgressions. It's the doesn't count blessing. God doesn't count our sins against us. He forgives them instead. Surely it's the greatest blessing God gives us, his people. Without that one, we're sunk. He forgives those sins that keep on adding up in our lives. And if you don't think they're adding up in your life, you are deceiving yourself. Were you to count them, their sheer number would overwhelm you. In Romans 6:19, Paul writes, you used to offer the parts of your body to ever-increasing wickedness. Sins breed more sins. Their numbers keep counting up, and it's so hard to stop that count. That count grows and grows and moves us further and further away from God until we end up moving into an eternal hell. But God comes along and reiterates Psalm 65, verse 3. Now for my first blessing, I will forgive your sins. I will make an atonement for your sins. I'll make a substitution for you with my Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus will be the one who will endure the penalty, the punishment for that ever-increasing count of sins in your life. And if you don't think there is a penalty, you are wrong. But Jesus took it. He paid the price because you couldn't. Believe and trust in him, and you are forgiven. 2 Corinthians 5:19, he will not count our sins against us. And so the move further and further away from God into hell itself is stopped in its tracks. That has to be the first and greatest blessing we have as God's children, the blessing of forgiveness by the blood of Jesus on the cross. Think about what that blessing gets us: acceptance by God, friendship with God, eternal life with God. It's the doesn't count blessing. God doesn't count our sins against us. Blessing number one. Blessing number two is the count me in blessing. King David writes, verse 4, blessed are those you choose, Lord, and bring near to live in your courts. What's that talking about? It's talking about the church. What a blessing that is. Jesus calls us, chooses us to be united to his body, the church. What a mystery. But he explains that, unravels that mystery a bit by putting us in a local church, calling us to be a part of a fellowship. King David even gives us the results of this blessing, blessing upon blessing. He writes, we are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. Well, count me in. That's blessing number two. God blesses us by gathering, protecting, and preserving us in the church, his body, specifically into this local expression of the church, the faith community, Christian Reformed congregation. This blessing means we get to be church people, people who do church together, who reach out with the gospel, who renew our community, who grow closer to Jesus Christ. We hear God's word. We partake of his sacraments. We pray for each other. We share joys. We help carry burdens. We offer our gifts. We share meals. We teach little ones. We comfort the grieving. We do it all together. As David said, we're filled with the good things of God's house. The blessing of the church. Count me in. Blessing number two. Blessing number three is the too many to count blessing. Listen to verse 9, a picture of God sending rain, the blessing of raindrops. You care for, it says, or visit, literally, you visit the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. Now, you're going to hear a slew of words after that one, like that one, though, abundantly in the rest of the passage. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained. You drench, you saturate, literally, its furrows, those long, narrow trenches made by plowing the ground during planting season. You drench them, and you level the earth's ridges. Now, are you getting this? This portion of the psalm is about one thing, the blessing of rain. One thing, but it's just one example of God's too many to count blessings. It is rain of such plenty that furrows are drenched, ridges are leveled. We read, the earth is being softened with showers so that crops are blessed. So there's major growth come harvest time. Too many crops to count. Farmers, I'm sure, love Psalm 65, verse 11. You crown the year with your bounty, your goodness, your welfare, your benefits. And your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. It's all lovely poetry about one thing. God giving the earth rain so there is food for his people. Did you hear the words? Count them. Abundance, filled, bounty, crowned, covered, drenched, overflow, enriched. You see, the Lord is the source of the people's blessings of food and water. You can't miss it here. God is revealed as the overflowing fountain of all good things, all goodness, mercy, and bounty and blessing. Too many to count. Isn't it terrific how Christians celebrate Thanksgiving? We don't have to sit around the table and tell that we're thankful for something in some generic way, as the late Chuck Colson used to say it. We say thanks for our blessings right to the source, right to the benefactor. We get to personalize our thanks. We get to add an indirect object to our thanks. To say it another way, I give the Lord indirect object, my thanks direct object. The indirect object receives the direct object. How imprecise or forgetful we are when we don't do that. I give thanks. That sentence is so feeble. It demands an indirect object. I give the Lord my thanks. I give the Lord my thanks. Here in this psalm, we have that repeatedly. Lord God, you drench, you enrich, you provide, you cover, you soften, you overflow, you bless, you crown with bounty. We know the source. We're in relationship with the one who waters the earth, and too many other blessings to count. Now, God blesses us with a desire to learn and get answers about how creation works, right? We learn rain happens. If we learn science class because of precipitation and condensation and moisture and humidity, we learn that growth happens in the spring because of photosynthesis and fertilization and sunlight and moisture, and atoms happen because of electrons and neutrons and protons and electrical charges and quarks and all that, sometimes we get caught up trying to figure out these second causes. John Calvin warned us about it 400 years ago. Be careful, he wrote, because it seems as if the more clarity people have in observing the second causes in nature, you will rest in them, the second causes, ever more determinedly, instead of ascending by them to God, the first cause. In other words, the more stuff we figure out, and it's a great thing we do, we try to do that, it's great, but the more stuff we do figure out, sometimes we'll forget that God sets all of that in motion every year, every season, every month, every day. When clouds drop rain, when the sun fires up seeds in the spring, sure, we try to figure it all out, give it fancy scientific names, but if those blessings don't cause us to ascend to God and see how incredible and powerful He is, then we have lost sight of what those blessings are all about, and they are too many to count. Psalm 65 reminds us that I need to start seeing God's hand everywhere, because it is everywhere. A hand that overflows blessings on His people. The rain description in this psalm, just one example. This psalm, this third blessing in it, this too many to count blessing, hopefully gets us to start counting our blessings regardless, because after blessings one and two, the blessings become too many to count. But it's our joy and thanksgiving to try and count all our blessings received from the overflowing fountain of all good, the Lord God. So now that you have that good news truth of who our God is in your hearts, it's time to start counting. The doesn't count our sins against us blessing, forgiveness. The count me in blessing, the church. And the too many to count blessings, starting with good old-fashioned rain showered on the earth. God directs all of them, pours out all of them.
One.
Rain.
Two.
Sunshine.
Three.
Grandchildren.
Four.
Furnaces.
Five.
Wait a minute. Beloved, who's counting?